welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. Thank you very much to Chris White for holding the fort down while I was away. I can't remember what I was doing, to be honest with you, but my name's Adam Cook. I'm back this week. I was probably playing games because that's all there are at the moment. What everyone decided to do was release no games, well, release some games, and then just release them all at the same time. And the games before we even introduced the people who were here with me this week, the games we couldn't talk about last week on the embargo bingo was Far Cry, Crackdown, Metro Exodus, and I think Jump Force. But we'll be talking about all of them apart from Jump Force this week, and we'll be talking about them with Nicola Ardron.
Hello.
She has been playing Metro and Crackdown, so there's that. And Adam Carroll.
Hello.
Who has played none of the embargoed games.
Brilliant.
Well, have you played any of them?
I played the demo of Anthem.
Okay, well, let's see. Anthem is the game I want to start with, right? Because it's the game I've been playing the most of, I think. And I think also, despite the... hype's the wrong word, but despite the attitude? I don't know, switching... It depends where you go, but there's a... Anthem is a strange game, because I don't think I've ever known a game that people want to love as much as this, because it's BioWare, right? I think there's a thing with BioWare where you a bit like Respawn, you divorce the EA-ness from them, and you're like, I just want this game to be good. And I think Nicola, for example, as a big Mass Effect fan, knows exactly where I'm coming from.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You say that. I also think DICE is included a little bit in that as well, but sorry, that's a tangent.
No, that's a fair comment. I think. A lot of EA's actual studios, I mean, I don't think they even exist anymore, but again, Adam will back me up here, Visceral, when, you know, the Dead Space series, a lot of they're not called that anymore. I think they might be EA Montreal, I don't know.
Is
what
it Motive? I think they're EA Motive?
Might be. They're there in some capacity, but Anthem is a game, oh my God. So the demos.
Can we quickly just say, are we going with Anthem or The Anthem? Because...
Well, the game's called Anthem, so...
when I watched your stream, though, it was just like the opening of the game is just The Anthem.
Right.
The Anthem.
So the Anthem of Creation is the thing in the game that the bad guy wants to control, or thinks he can control, but he probably can't. I haven't finished the story, but I'm going to guess he can't, and something goes wrong. I don't know. There's a story to this game. It's not bad. So it's the opposite problem of Destiny, okay? In Destiny, and I'm talking Destiny 1, vanilla Destiny 1, there was bugger all story to really cling to, and one of the biggest complaints was stop telling me to go and read a website. And we won't retread that here. We know this. Everyone knows this. Anthem's got quite a lot of story, actually. There's quite a lot of voiced characters in Fort Tarsis that will chat a lot to you. I missed a lot of it because I was streaming that opening, and it's like you're talking yourself. Anthem has a lot of story. I also think Anthem has, actually, personally, I think that Anthem's gameplay, actual gameplay, is really good. I just super love flying around in that game, and I actually. I went for Storm, which is the elemental javelin, which like you can. And I think the weird thing about Anthem is at the moment, obviously, I'm just playing it with randoms on PC. Everyone seems to be playing it kind of like Mass Effect, like it's a third person shooter with powers, because I seem to always be the only one in the air. And I feel like unless you're the Colossus, which is the big one, you guys know this, I feel like you should sort of be in the air, especially as Storm, which seems to be a very popular character. Like, the idea about Storm is you rain down a storm. Like, the idea is you change up all your, you know, you change up all your weaponry. Like, for example, at the moment, if I hit my RB, what do I do now? I think it was like I fire a lightning arc, which spreads off to arc on other people. Whereas if I hold down my LB, like I just rain down fire on them. And the idea is that you actually hover around kind of being artillery while like Colossus gets down there and does that. It's actually the team composition stuff of it is it. I could see it working really well. Everything else is terrible though.
Oh,
terrible, like, or just not up terrible. To the same standard.
No, terrible. Terrible.
Really terrible.
Terrible. So I'll give you some examples. I won't go on the whole podcast about this, and I will also caveat this by saying I'm not at the end game. Maybe it suddenly becomes an incredible game, which is, again, like the kind of opposite thing of Destiny, isn't it? That when you got to the end game of Destiny, there wasn't enough content, and a lot of these games do that. So maybe they flipped it on its head and you hit the story, the credits roll, and it's like, okay, the real game begins. And that's, I mean, I don't know why these games can't be both, but that's not what we're here to discuss. In this game, you're in a party of four. You can set it to private, and I think, judging, because I have tried, I think it does scale, but you are going to miss out because the idea of having four different javelins, the four different javelins, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You complement one another. The problem is with, and again, Nicola, as somebody who played a lot of Destiny, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. There are a lot of people who are rerunning missions. So, the other night, I played with Gary, and I knew he hadn't played as much as me because I could tell by his level and his power level.
Yeah.
And we'll come to power level in a minute because fucking hell. We did this mission, and I'm saying to him, I don't get this. I don't think I've done this. Is this a story mission? And he's saying, yeah, it is, yeah. And but what it involves is you fly around, you go to this thing, you're fixing a radio, I think. And then you fly off and fix another one, and it's that kind of thing in a shooter. You know, it's very Destiny. You go somewhere, you defend something, you go and do it again.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, how can I not have done this story mission when I'm about 4, 5, maybe 6 hours ahead of Gary? So I'm confused, and we carry on, and you know, we finish our play session. And I was just fiddling around in our YouTube back end, and I checked that the stream I'd done was up okay. And there I am playing the mission that I had just played with Gary that I wasn't aware that I had played. And the reason that had happened is because the people I was playing with were obviously either very quick or were rerunning this mission, so they got to every objective before I even arrived, activated the beacons or fixed the thing or checked the salvage before I'd even done it. So at the point I was playing with Gary, I had never actually interacted with any of the salvage or these beacons, because every single time I'd been playing with my buddies, who weren't my buddies, they had done it for me. I had never actually done this thing.
Yeah, I had that situation in the demo. Every time, like, I saw something I had to go to, someone else did it, and I was like, oh, I want to experience it, and...
At least once, so you know how
to. At least once. I know it's not, like, well, it is major, but, like, just things, just activating things, and you're like,
I wouldn't say it was major, right, but it does add up to the thing that in the game there is also a radar, like a ping radar, and I wasn't sure at first if that was telling me where a threat was or not. It's not. It's actually telling you where the objective is. So it's kind of like, you know, when you get inside an area in an open world game, it's like you're within the search area.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that, telling you which way to go. But again, I hadn't realised this because every single mission prior in my four-party rando party, they'd all just done it. And all I was doing was the combat and flying. And this is made a lot worse. This is exacerbated by the fact that if you do not keep up with your party, so if you're in a party of three randos who are rerunning a mission and they rushing off the objective, you end up with this big yellow bar on the screen saying, too far from the mission area, you've got 12-second countdown. And if you don't do it, if you don't catch up, it loads. It doesn't warp you directly to them, which would be fine, by the way. I'm not saying that's a thing that shouldn't do. You should, if you're in a party, you should be kept together, right?
Yeah.
It warps you, but there's like a 30-second load.
Right. I've heard a lot about these loading screens, and they kind of bother me.
It's bad. I'm playing on a PC with an SSD, so it should be about as quick as you can get. It's a good SSD, actually. It's one I'm writing about for the site. There's too much loading. It's just too much loading.
Games don't do that anymore, though, do they?
No.
If you look at, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, you don't load between areas. It's just a smooth transition through all the areas, and you kind of expect that now. It's like you load walking through a door. That's really old design.
Yeah, there's areas. I'm trying to think of a game that does this. I think Destiny does this as well. I don't want to keep comparing it to Destiny, but it really is the closest comparison, just third person. So in Destiny, you're in a kind of, not open world, but a open area, an open level where you can kind of free play in it, which you can do in Anthem as well if you want to just sit on your own and fly around. But then you get to kind of the respawn area, the non-respawning area where it's like, no, you're in it now. This is the stuff.
Yeah.
But those bits are usually behind a... It's not usually a long load, I will say. That one's the short one. But you fly to an area which is like an objective, and you can see, oh, there's a tunnel down here, and you go in the tunnel, and it's just like, bang, loading. Oh, shit, okay. And then you're in an area, and you're like, oh, that's peculiar. That's not game-breaking for me. But all of these little elements add up to a game that is 100% supposed to be played as a team, but I'm not... And in an, I don't want to compare it, it's a bit unfair, but in an era where we've got Apex Legends, which is probably the first game to truly... Well, I don't know if it's too early to say mastered, but I'm going to say it. Mastered the art of playing with random people without needing a microphone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it's just kind of... It feels like it's rushing me. But
yeah. See, can I ask a question? Because if somebody... Like, you're in a party of randos and you're just starting to play and you're like... You know, you're trying to get used to the flying and you're like, oh, what's that shiny thing over there? But your team of randos are just flying off and whizzing through the mission and you're just getting dragged along for the ride. Yep. What happens if there's, like, I don't know, loot chests and things to open?
I'm not sure because I haven't actually just decided, no, I'm not doing this. You know, the loot seems to be a case of if you open a chest, it's there for everyone.
Right.
So if you pick it up, it's still there for me. And because they're just kind of like... I mean, they're just coloured diamonds almost, they look like, on the floor. So you can't really see, oh, there's a special gun, until you pick it up. I haven't seen that problem yet, but like, you can't change your loadout until you load the you finish. Like, there was one thing, again, when I was playing with Gaz, but I don't know how I did it, but I must have unequipped my secondary weapon, which was... Well, actually, it was my primary weapon, which was just an assault rifle. And so I loaded it, and I was like, where's my weapon gone? I've only got this sniper. Now, in Destiny, if you did that, it's a simple solution. You bring the map up and you just select your weapon or you change your skills. In this, you can't do it. Once you start an expedition, that's
it. Yeah, I noticed
until
that in
finish.
The demo.
That's stupid.
Yeah, I noticed that in the demo because I tried all of the javelins and then on the very last one, we decided to go and do the sort of raid stronghold, whatever they call it.
Strong, yeah, that's it, yeah.
With the big arachnid thing.
I
used all of the javelins bar the Colossus.
Okay.
And I launched into the game and like immediately I realised that I hated the Colossus and I never want to play as him. Because I just felt awful compared to like the previous one I'd used was the Ranger, I think it is. That sort of super
he's
nippy
kind of
one.
Generic-y soldier man. Oh no, that's the literally the only one I can't remember the name. Ranger's the sort of soldier guy.
Oh, okay.
Storm is elemental.
It's the other nippy guy, this sort of ninja fella.
I cannot remember his name.
And I'd like just played a mission as that javelin and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's really fast and you can just like go in, get a couple of jibs in and come back out again. And I was like, that's brilliant. I love it. And then I went to Colossus and it was just like, you can't even fly very, very long as Colossus. It's just like,
Interceptor,
that's it, yeah. You can't even
Colossus
fly.
Colossus also churns through ammo real quick.
Yeah,
like,
I just didn't like it. And I was like, I want to change. And it's like, no, I now have to plod
have to
through
this, mission or quit.
This entire mission as this awful javelin. I mean, I did get used to it by the time we got to the actual stronghold bit, but it was annoying. That I couldn't change my equipment that it had come preset with, and
So I can think of an example literally in Destiny 2 where in one of my many attempts to get back into that game, I loaded it up and I had my two weapons. I was like last time I left it, and I went and did a story mission, and one of the weapons was just not cutting it. It was one that was like I can't even remember. It was like it wouldn't damage shields. So basically, I was like not doing any damage. So I just hit the menu button and changed to a weapon that did. I mean, like, not being funny, we'll come to it, but Crackdown 3 even does this, where it's like, oh, this is better against, you know, mechs, so I need to change to a gun. So that is a really strange thing, especially when you've got a character like Storm that you can equip fire, ice, lightning, and one of those might just be no good, and you might have gone, both your LB and RB are both fire weapons, and then, you know...
Mm. And without knowing what the enemy types are going to be while you're playing.
You can't know in a story mission.
That's weird because you want to be able to change on the fly, don't you? It's like, oh, I've equipped the wrong shit and this elemental stuff that I'm doing isn't, you know, strong enough against it. Yeah.
But like the problems go deeper. Like, you know, so if you look at, I had a real good look through the menus about and the power system, which is not your level. It is the power, your suit's power. In other words,
yeah.
When you've equipped all your gear, you know,
that's the same as Destiny. Yeah.
It is. So I'm looking at this, and it's got my power, and it's got a list of all the things I've equipped. Like, you know, there's my fire, there's my ice thing, there's my two guns, there's my components I've got attached, and some of them are just normal, and there's some of them have got red marks on them, and I'm thinking, well, why have they got like a red arrow pointing down? Because that suggests a negative thing. So I go in and have a look, and I look at the other things I could equip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm looking at my weapons because I've got this character. I've got like an assault rifle and I think I had a sniper rifle. For me, that's great. Like the you know, it's either that or you go assault and shotgun. So I'm going through it and I realise that I can get this red arrow to turn into a green arrow and make my power go from 62 to 64 by equipping another assault rifle. And it's like, but I don't want two assault rifles. I want to have combat options to be able to get in close, or you know, especially as a kind of ghost in the sky.
Do the two weapons work in unity with each other? Then
no, it's raw numbers. It is. Right. It is this gun is an assault rifle and is power level 8 and has these stats attached to it. But your sniper rifle is power level 7 with these stats attached to it. So if you change your sniper out for another assault weapon, yeah, you've got two assault weapons, but your power level's higher. And it's like, but I don't want to.
Mm.
I want to have my sniper rifle because it's one of these weird, like it's a sort of semi-automatic one and it's really powerful. But you're telling me I'll have a higher power level. What does that even mean? Because I'm looking at the stats of this gun and there's nothing in there to say my armor will go up or my shields will go up. Is it literally numbers for numbers' sake?
Because
it felt like it. And so I left those with a red arrow pointing down because I don't want to go into a combat situation with two assault rifles. You know, does that mean they're both using the same pool of ammo? Because that's a terrible situation.
Mm.
You know, if you... And it's just stuff like this where it's like, I was talking to Mick about it, and he said, well, they've got to put that stuff in there for the RPG fans. I was like, yeah, they do, of course, then they're BioWare, but you've got to do it right. Like, you can't just literally have an actual arbitrary number that goes up based on other numbers at the same time as telling someone, no, don't bother going into combat with, like, you know, a shotgun and a pistol. Just take two shotguns. But like, I don't get that. That's confusing.
Or two assault rifles. Like you say, no.
So I didn't, though. And I had no negative impact, I should say. I didn't feel underpowered. I still felt pretty powerful. And it sounds like I'm ragging on this game, and I don't want to because I sort of can't stop playing it because I do enjoy the combat and I really like the flight. And on PC, obviously, it's like 60 frames and it looks beautiful. It plays really well. I do think there's a little bit of an issue with feedback. I think there are times where you're like, oh shit, I'm down, and mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was taking damage,
yeah.
And that's not great.
Yeah, but that's because BioWare are primarily known as an RPG studio,
yeah.
And now they're making a shooter. That isn't their pedigree. I mean,
no. If
you think back to Mass Effect, the original, the shooting on that was rudimentary, and then it improved in Mass Effect 2, and everybody was like, oh, it's not even an RPG anymore, it's just a shooter with RPG elements. Sorry, but...
No, I know.
And then Mass Effect Andromeda is a good game, actually, and partly was because the combat was so good, but it was good because I was playing an RPG with good combat, not it was good to be, like, the sole point of the game good, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Whereas Anthem, it's obviously built around this movement and this shooting... And as much as I love BioWare, that isn't their pedigree.
So, at the risk of
like Destiny,
the Anthem podcast, yeah.
You know, we could go to Destiny and say, look, okay, the storytelling element of it was a bit babab.
Exactly.
However, you know, Bungie, their pedigree is shooting and movement. And like Destiny was sublime in those two areas.
Yeah. I'll tell you where I'm at with it and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Notwithstanding the fact, again, I haven't seen the end game, and that's why we have currently got a review in progress up, because Mix played a lot of it. But these games, rightly or wrongly, live and die by what you do for the not the first 10 to 15, but the 15 to 100 hours after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not our place to say. I don't get why they can't both be good, but whatever. Where I sit with it is that right now I feel like this game in 10, 11 months' time is going to be the one we talk about when it comes to most disappointing game of the year, because there is enough here that what I feel this game could have been was, and I know how people feel about Andromeda, if this game had been the natural sort of movement in terms of Mass Effect, this could have been the next step in the Mass Effect series. But what this game, I feel like it needed to be, was a single-player open world game with this combat, with the RPG elements, but one enormous Horizon Zero Dawn-style game with optional co-op.
Yeah, but that's not just going to happen, though, is it, Adam?
Oh, no.
Because it's
God, no.
EA, and they're chasing the Activision model, like, aren't they, of
again,
Destiny?
I'm not doing what I said, so the last thing I will say about it, like the Fort Tarsis, I haven't even mentioned.
Yeah.
Why, in a third-person action shooter, why would you put a first-person bit in there if the first-person bit runs really badly?
Mm.
Why would you? Why? It's not a huge area. It's not a huge hub. The characters are all dead. They're literally stood there waiting for you and come to bring them to life. Like, it's like walking into a party and everyone's leaning against a bar talking to no one until, oh, Adam's walked in the room. Hang on, he's going to come up to me. And now I'm suddenly alive and talking to every single one of them.
Have they added, like, quicker movement in those areas?
Oh, it feels so sluggish, doesn't it, Adam? It really does.
It feels sluggish. It makes the frame rate feel lower. And it feels like there's... It feels like you're walking through jelly.
Yeah.
Like through custard.
Treacle. Treacle,
the thing is, imagine... That's it, treacle's perfect. Imagine if all those characters, right, were quest givers, but they were somewhere in a bigger Anthem open world map that you could just go and speak to in third person. I don't get it.
I'm still intrigued to play it because... Like, the bits that matter to me are the movement and the shooting. And from what I've heard, that sounds, particularly the movement, sounds good.
If the three of us and Mick all played together on PS4 or Xbox or whatever and had mics on, we would have a good time.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that. But it changes in co-op as well. Like, when you're in Fort Tarsis, right, you have to walk... Well, you've done this in the demo. You have to walk up to your javelin, see that animation, which, by the way, I don't know
it's
if this
good.
Was in the demo. Cause
I love the animation.
It is, but was there a skip button
yes.
in the demo?
Yes, there was,
okay,
yeah.
I never noticed that. But that tells
didn't
me something.
I skip it because I just
see,
thought
I,
it
I
was
am
great.
Now. No, I'm skipping now.
I'm
like
sure,
I've
you know, by the time
times.
You like done it 50, 60 times, you're like, fuck's sake, I don't need to see it again.
But like, when you're in a party, say if we're playing together in a party, you know, in-game party, there's like a constant thing there just to, I think it's Y on Xbox, they hold Y to go straight to the kind of, you know, the map screen where you can pick an expedition.
Yeah.
Why isn't that there for single player?
All these issues are kind of like hurting my head. Because it's
I want to like this game.
I do too, and I don't know. It just doesn't sound great. Like
it's not.
No, the movement is great. The gameplay is great. That's all fantastic. But like, I just thought that maybe we could now all say, well, at least BioWare learned from the Mass Effect disaster.
Well, it sounds like they have because the facial animations are great. And it looks amazing.
I will say, this game looks great. This game genuinely looks really
good
on PC. It
looks great, but it'd be just amazing if we had a really good story attached to it. I just really hate when it's just a game comes out and it's just one or the other, it seems.
But why didn't somebody say, for example, at a meeting, because they will have had meetings, team meetings, why didn't someone say, this Fort Tarsis, this first-person thing, right, can we get it running better? No, sorry, sir, we can't. Okay. So by having this in the game, the thing that runs poorly, we have to introduce a loading screen to load it in and then another long one to load out into missions. What about if we just didn't have it? Well, no, sir, we've made it now. You know, someone's done the art. Yeah, but what about if it made the game just better to have like a press start, pick your mission and have these... Yeah.
Are there other players in Tarsis or is it just literally you?
It's just you and all the NPCs. So there is a place, what's it called? I can't remember. It popped up in, there's like a area that seems like, I think it might be the hangar, something like that.
Right.
Oh, God, what is it called? That is like, this is the thing. This is the real crazy shit. This thing that you can go to in multiplayer, and I think you can in single player later, it's like a mini hub in Fort Tarsis somewhere. And in that hub, you have your... what's the thing you called where you can go and customise your javelin that's right by the javelin?
The forge.
the forge. It's got loads of forges, and it has people in it, real people, humans like you and I, and it has some of the shop stuff down there, all in this one little mini hub. So it's almost like someone thought about doing it.
Do you know what? Is that sounds like Monster Hunter World, where you can dick about on the sort of first two, three levels, and then you go up to the gathering hub, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, this it's a similar thing, right. It's weird, and I don't want to. I don't want people going away going, "Oh God, God, Adam hates Anthem," because I actually really don't, and I am going to play more of it, and I will probably talk about it next week again. But that my initial feeling is that this game could have been really, really my jam.
Yeah, you don't sound like you hate it. You sound like you're frustrated with it because there's bits of it that you really like, which
it
leads
sounds
us into
like,
Exodus.
And I promise this will be the last thing I say. It does. Last thing I'll say, it feels like a game designed by committee. And I don't know that that can be said of Metro Exodus, which you reviewed, gave 7 out of 10?
I did, yeah.
7 out of 10, yeah, I couldn't remember. I've played a little bit of this as well on PC, and the only thing I can say about it is, what a very, very attractive game.
Yes, it is a very beautiful game. Even on Xbox, and I've seen some stuff on PC, and I'm like, ooh. What?
People are saying that this is like, oh, you know, this is proof we don't need a next generation of games. Now, I did think it was a very attractive game. I'm using an RTX card where they've got all the ray tracing and that. Mm. Although they didn't use ray tracing, they used the RTX stuff for lighting. And it's a very beautiful game. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'd be like, oh, well, we don't need new... I don't think we need new consoles anyway, but would you go that far with it? Or is that hyperbole?
I mean, how much better can a game...
I think it would look the same but run at 60 is probably about
it. Yeah, it's like I'm sure we've reached a point now where we're at sort of max. I mean, if you just think about some of the games that have come out recently, what would you do to improve them visually? I don't know, but there again, when I first saw Gears of War on an Xbox One, I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. And now I'm like,
are you an X or S?
Me, I've got an S, and it looks gorgeous on the S. Of course, the S upscales, doesn't it? So
that's right. It is a very attractive game.
It's
like, there's no
beautiful. It looks amazing. But to be honest, I recently played Redux before I went into Exodus, and for 2 360 games, 2 360 era games, the lighting in those was sensational. I was regularly struck by how good looking it was. It was only when you then went to the character models that you saw that they were a little bit, less detailed, and you would say, okay, yeah, that looks like a 360 game. But the actual environment stuff is phenomenal. That engine that they've got is the 4A engine or something, isn't it? It's beautiful.
So to put something to you in a kind of teacher presents thing to class, discuss type scenario, I realised, I'm not going to beat around the bush, I don't like this game, and I think I realised why. Mm-hmm. And I want to put this to you, and you tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. The class I present to you, I'm not going to present that to you, that's not good at all, I can't even speak. I present to you, Metro Exodus is not a first-person shooter. It is a first-person stealth game. Therefore, Adam Cook does not get along with it very well.
maybe. I mean...
But you've played a lot more than me. That's why I'm asking, I suppose.
See, like Exodus... Sorry, the Metro series is more of a stealth game than an out-and-out shooter. In Redux versions of the game, they added in the Spartan mode where, like... ammo and resources, like things, you know, like your filters for your gas masks and stuff like that were plentiful, so you could play it as a straight shooter. But I think the series generally is meant to be about stealth, you know, with tight resources. You know, you don't have that many bullets for your guns. You've got to be sparing and choose your gunfights wisely. You know, you've got to make sure that you are monitoring your filters and things like that. So it is meant to be a more stealth-based game. And Exodus certainly is along those lines as well. But, you know, you can still blast your way through it. It's just that it just makes a little bit more sense not to if you don't need to. And also, the shooting is okay, but it isn't amazing. And I have seen some people say, oh, the shooting's excellent. It's all right, but I feel like the feedback. In fact, it felt very much like Wolfenstein, which I enjoyed very, very much. However, I did feel that feedback, both when you were getting shot and when you were actually shooting enemies, didn't quite do it for me.
It's a kind of indefinable gun feel, isn't it, almost?
Yes. They all look amazing. All the guns look amazing. Oh, yeah. And you can, of course, switch up your loadout on the fly. You can't change your weapon type. So if you've gone with an assault rifle and a shotgun, you can't change that. However, you can change, you know, you can stick a silencer on it, or you can stick a sight on your shotgun, or you can stick a stock on it to make it a bit more, you know, accurate.
In apocalyptic Russia, you can pull a backpack out and fix your guns and stuff. But in Anthem, where you're flying around in a huge mech suit.
Yeah. But that, that was kind of like the premise of it, wasn't it? That you've got this, it's gone from being kind of linear shooter to a bit more open worldy, whereby you can approach enemy bases at different angles, and, you know, you can choose to do it silently, or you can go in all guns blazing. You also have to explore around, because you're going to need crafting materials. You're going to need stuff to clean your weapons, because they're going to jam, and you want to be going around and seeing whether you can find additional upgrades to your equipment. Like, for example, if you search around, you can upgrade the strength of your gas mask or whatever. There isn't other than you going over to that point because you think that, oh, I'm a bit low on cleaning fluid for my gun. I didn't really feel compelled necessarily to explore, not in the same way as, say, you know, I mean, it looks very Fallout-y in places, so I'm going to say Fallout. Yeah. I know they're two entirely different games, but that draw of pulling you over somewhere to go and explore, it's not necessarily that strong for me.
I like the story stuff when you go underground or something. Or you it's weird because this is a spoiler? Well, they've shown it in the videos. Like in this game, spoiler, you come out of the metro. You're not underground all the time. But I found the bits I liked the most were the more story heavy. You have to go here underground, fight through this, and then like when I was back to being like, oh, you can go over there and do this open world. But I've hardly got any bullets, so I don't want to go and do what. I don't want to go and find that girl's teddy bear.
I find, although if you do find a teddy bear, you get some good stuff. But beside the point, I feel like the story, it kind of is really tight at times, and then it just kind of like it's a bit elastic in exactly the way that you've said. So those kind of scripted scenarios where you go, you know, there's a particular bit, I don't even know if you got this far, but there's a bit sort of, I guess, mid game, maybe slightly not quite mid game.
It's
the Caspian Sea.
No, I never. I'm still in Volga?
Volga Basin, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm still there. God, you've got loads to go.
Oh, don't worry, I won't.
But you go down into a bunker. You have to go and, like, get some codes or a map. Well, that was it. You had to go and get a map to find out, like, you know, irradiated areas. I can't even remember. And that is when the game is really good. Like, really good. Because you're in these poorly lit areas. You've only got your headlamp torch. And for me, because I'm terrified of spiders, my lighter.
Oh, don't even
burning all of the cobwebs. Yeah, but just burn them. Just kill all of them with fire.
But they climb. You've
got all the audio, like, of the scrabbling and the monsters screaming. And, do you know? And it's like, it's really atmospheric. It's really quite scary. And you're creeping around, trying not to make too much noise, and you're trying to, like, scavenge for materials, and then you've got to crawl through an air vent, and you're just like, oh, my God, I don't want... You know, and those bits of the game really, really do... That they are the best parts by a long shot.
They're the parts that make me want to play.
Yeah,
it. Like,
by a long shot, they're the best bits.
Like, when I played the first game, like, I just didn't get on with it. And, like, the kind of mechanics of your gas mask and stuff, oh, God, it was just so not fun. And I didn't want... I don't know why. I got it, I understood it, but I didn't get on with that. And the thing was, I didn't want Metro to be anything original. I just wanted it to be just a really, like, just good old shooter with a heavy story. Mm-hmm. And that's all I really need.
You wanted a Bioshock.
Yeah, pretty much that. And, like, when I look at Exodus, I'm like, oh, my God, it looks so cool. Like, all the weapons look really cool. And I just know that something is going to just not work for me.
Probably the characters. The amount they talk at you.
Yeah.
So, my God. There's...
Can you play this without playing the other two?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And that is another problem I had with the game. Because I powered through Redux because I had a feeling that I might be asked to do Exodus. One, because it's a shooter, and two, because I knew there was some other stuff coming out. And I was thinking, well, Mick ain't going to be able to do it, neither is Chris, so it's going to be me. So I did have a feeling before you actually said to me, Adam, that it was going to be me doing it. So
it was a toss-up, genuinely, to go behind the curtain of between you and Chris, who was doing Far Cry and who was doing Metro.
Yeah.
I don't know who... I still personally haven't played both, and we'll get to that, but
you made the best decision, because I'm not a big Far Cry fan, and I'd have probably not thanked you for it. Anyway, so I powered through the Redux, the Metro Last Light and Metro 2033, sorry, the other way around, 2033 and Last Light. And I got quite invested in the story, and I got two bad endings for both of them, like what is considered bad endings. But in my ending at Last Light, Artyom dies, right? He's dead. And Anna, his wife, who they weren't married at the end of Last Light, but presumably in the intervening years they got married.
They just got married. She married a corpse.
But she had a child. So, you know, it's her recounting a little bit about what the son's father had done and how he'd saved the Metro. But he's dead. And then Exodus begins. And it's like, well, he's not dead, and Anna hasn't had a child from this one night of, like, you know, passion after nearly dying or something. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But, so, okay, Exodus's jumping off point is the good ending of Last Light. But the only way you can get the good ending, and I'm using, like, you know, air quotes, for Last Light, is there's a hidden morality system within the games. And, you know, if you kill too many human enemies, or if you don't listen to enough conversations, or, you know, if you miss a section where a child is asking you for a teddy bear, or, you know, there's a beggar who needs some money for food, or, like, all of these things. Yeah, so you monster, Adam, you absolute monster. So all of these things that add up, and if you've done enough of them throughout the course of, like, the 12-hour campaign of Last Light, you will have had good karma, and your ending is slightly different in that Artyom doesn't die, basically. He doesn't die at the end of it. He's saved by the Dark Ones, who are completely gone from Exodus. That whole supernatural Dark Ones psychic link that he had throughout 2033 and the Last Light doesn't exist. So my long, rather lengthy reply to your question, Adam Carroll, is no, you don't have to play the other two, because
fantastic.
It bears absolutely no relation to anything you've played before, other than...
Sounds like Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, other than it says, oh, yeah, we've come out of the Metro, and all these warring factions in the Metro are sort of still there, but we're going to try and, you know, make a better life for ourselves and... Boom, we're on a train.
He should definitely play it if he wants to have a doting wife in game.
Right, so there's bits of it, as I've said, that I just thoroughly enjoyed, and I mithered the shit out of Adam on Slack during the time I was playing it, because I was just like, I really like this game. This game's really fucking me off. What's going on with this game?
Yeah, it was a ride, I can tell you that.
Because there's bits of it that I just really, really like. Like, I really kind of like the train, the bit on the train. I liked it.
It's a cool
it
concept.
And, you know, and some of the conversation, you know, I kind of like being an eavesdropper on some of the conversations and this, that, and the other. But just so you understand, Adam, it's like you are a mute character. You don't speak. And all of the narrative is delivered entirely through other character conversations. So I've seen some reviews.
No, but again, conversations suggest that it's a two-way thing.
Well, they are. They're conversations with other characters, not
oh,
with
right.
you.
Yeah, sorry.
I've seen some reviews post my review who talk about, oh, the cutscenes are great. And I'm like, the game doesn't have a single cutscene.
I was going to say, I don't remember.
Other than, you know, like, oh, there's a creature that's burst through a door. That's not a cutscene, a scripted scene. But it doesn't have a cutscene, you know. And it would be better if they did, because at least then you're watching, you know, you're watching something rather than you are stood there. You can still move around and interact with stuff. But all the while, these people are talking at you, like literally at you. And you have your adoring wife, Anna, who quite frankly irritated the shit out of me towards the end, because they're trying to make her like, oh, she's like Anna and she's really capable and she's like a crack shot. She's the best sniper in the metro and, you know, she's perfectly capable and she's totally in love with her Artyom, but she just seems like a nag because she's just constantly wittering at you and you can't actually interact with her. And the thing is, like, that really wound me up, and I don't know if I got it through to you on Slack what I meant when I said that she's so compliant, is that she kind of leans into you and there's like stupid leery shots down her top and like doe eyes. And it, she just seems like, you know, I didn't like
you know,
it at all.
We'll go spoilery, but you know, when you, it's just really early on, you first sort of find the train and you get out of that area. And there's like a massive exposition dump. Well, one of many, but there's a massive exposition dump where her dad, who talks to everyone and he reveals he knew what was going on, blah, blah, blah. And then she says something like, I need to have a word with you. She sort of, she takes you by the hand. I thought that was going to be a sex scene after that.
Well, that's what I mean, Adam. Everything looks because, like it's going to lead to a sex scene.
Yep.
And it's horrific.
Constantly, and listen, we all remember that in the early days of our relationships, but... But, like, it never... I mean, I don't know if you finished the game. I don't know.
No, it doesn't. Unless I did something that meant that that
maybe
didn't
that's the good
happen.
Ending. Maybe that's the good ending. Maybe that's... No, hang on. It's the happy ending.
Yeah, anyway. It's really, really good in places. It's not consistent all the way through. It's also, dare I say it, too long. It took me 25 hours to play it. And in fairness, I did try and be as stealthy as possible. So of course, you know, those sections are, you know, longer anyway, because, you know, you're waiting for you know, position, you know, guards to move position and stuff so that you can get a better angle on them. So yeah, the length of it was extended in that respect. I did a little bit of scavenging. I didn't scavenge everything I could possibly see, but it is too long. It is too long for a game where large portions of it you just are literally doing nothing but standing listening to conversations. It's too long.
Well, the best 7 out of 10 this year. Well, I think that might be still to talk about this week. But before we get to that, I want to talk about Far Cry.
Okay.
And I want to talk about how Far Cry needs to go away for a little bit. I don't know when I became the negative one on this podcast.
I don't really like Far Cry.
See, I do. I really like Far Cry. I a game like Far Cry, okay, when I think of Far Cry, if you want to kind of get the Venn diagram, it's just two things. Shooting overlapped with explosions, like, you know, it's just
like Crackdown.
kinda. Oh god, did I, New Dawn's boring.
See, I thought Far Cry 4 was boring, and I've not played one since.
See, 5 picked up for me again because the... There's a story that... I know it doesn't end well, but it did take me through the game. It pulled me through the game.
Mm-hmm.
New Dawn's story, it... So it's, basically, it's 17 years after 5.
Yeah.
The big bad this time are two sisters, twin sisters, who I've forgotten their names. That's how memorable they are. One's a psychopath, mm-hmm. the kind of... It's like they took Vas Montenegro from 3. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Is it the craze?
That's exactly what it is.
Brilliant.
That is exactly what it is. I was going to say it's like they took Vas Montenegro and split him into two people. But no, it's the craze, because there's one absolutely psychopath who actually at one point, by the way, and I want to talk about this because even in fiction, it is a stupid thing to do.
Mm.
Their way of telling you how badass they are is they get a grenade, the psycho one, pulls the pin out and makes a child hold it.
Right.
Which is supposed to make you go, oh, wow, you evil, evil so-and-so. But what it made me think is, you're fucking stupid, because that's a child. That child could panic and just let go of it, and you're all fucking dead anyway. There's better ways of anyway. So she's the kind of psycho that beats, like, the first thing she does is beat someone's face right in with a bicycle helmet. Meanwhile, the other one is the kind of head screwed on, I'm going to talk to you, but be menacing like that.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 times you meet them, you have a gun in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You could just shoot them both and it's over. And you don't. And you can't. And it's like, this is... Far Cry did this in 4, where you can kill Pagan Min at the start of the game and you get your credit sequence there and then.
Right. But I didn't know that.
It's kind of like an optional thing where you can actually just pull a gun out and kill him and you get credits. And it's kind of like one of those sort of neat little Easter egg-y things.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not the way you want to play, but they were aware enough to be aware of the situation that, well, you could just... He's right there and you've got a gun. Kill him.
Mm.
To me, this is a step down. Also, and this is the... I know there will be people going, God, you're nitpicking. Far Cry needs to stop the thing they do where they take control away from you for a cutscene, and at the end of the cutscene, they fade to black and they come back and it's exactly where it left you. It's stupid. If these are in-engine scenes, why are you fading to black?
Yeah, so, like, I do agree, but at the same time, I feel like you're maybe thinking too hard with the story. Now, I know that's not acceptable either, but... 5 for me personally, if there was ever a time to get all up in a heap, it was the ending of that game. Like, I was so fucking angry at the end of Far Cry 5 that's what I got. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, that's awful. That's an awful way to end the game. And I kind of went into 5 knowing that, well, no, to be honest, I went into 5 expecting the story to be probably poor. And not what I want, but I wasn't prepared for that ending. However, like, if I'm honest, Ed, like, there isn't really a Far Cry story that I give a shit about as much as I did maybe with 3, and probably, actually, 2 and 3. 2 and 3 are the only ones I really kind of cared about. I didn't like 4, because 4 was just a letdown compared to how good Vas was in 3. And when it comes to the story, Far Cry created this thing where they know they can do a really good... villain, and we'll all love it and stuff, but like going into New Dawn, like you said there at the beginning that it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big thing to say, because I thought in 5 it was a lot of fun.
It was.
And I had a great time playing it when I just played it for fun. How do you mean by boring? Is it just that maybe you've had your fill?
So it's,
have
it's that.
Too much?
So it's the same game, man. It feels like DLC. Like, the idea here is that it's 17 years after the apocalypse, basically, and it's all like... And their way of getting it across to you is that, like, a lot of pink is in the game, which is very pretty. It's a very pretty game. And the first weapon you get is a saw launcher. But from then on, you pick up a machine gun and a pistol and then a sniper rifle and a shotgun. And it's like, sorry, where's the... Like they almost sort of put it on a podium. It's like, hey, no, it's not just Rage 2 that's all pink. And it's just nothing like what you imagine it to be. It is exactly Far Cry 5, but with a few really tiny things. And it's like, it's 12 months. Is it even 12 months since the last one came out?
No, I don't. Jesus, it might be 11 months.
I think it was March. I want to say it was March last year. And it's just too soon. And
March 27th.
The thing is, you think about the way they've done this in the past. So you had Far Cry Blood Dragon, which I wasn't keen on, but it had its spin, didn't it? It had the 80s VHS vibe. And they did Far Cry Primal, which again, had its spin on the game. It was like the primal aspect. This is supposedly is an apocalyptic kind of thing. And it's like, it's not. That's the other thing. It's the same map.
Yeah.
It's the same map.
Yeah, I see. I can totally see what you're saying.
That's too much. That's one thing too much. Like it's a condensed. Yeah. It's also a smaller game. You know, it's the same ad. Like you go into the map and you see someone look who's clearly going to be a buddy for you to add to your roster, and you hover the menu over them and they start talking, and it's like, oh, that radio. Hey, anyone out there? Oh, okay, I know if I go and do a mission for them, they'll become part of my buddy system. But all I want's the dog anyway, so I don't know why I'm going to bother. That's the biggest addition to this game, by the way. The dog can now get in your sidecar or your car with you and come with you.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Ten out of ten.
Absolutely.
Game of the year.
Yep, best doggos. But like, it's too soon. It's too soon for me personally.
Do you think that's your problem with it, Adam? Is that it's massively. Too soon? It's not necessarily that it's a bad game or it's a boring game. It's just that it's too soon after Far Cry 5 on the same map. And you're a bit
Do you remember in the old days? Well, the old days, this is showing our age a bit, but do you remember how, for all of us growing up, when FIFA used to be, they've just changed the roster and put the next year's FIFA out?
Mm. Yeah.
Which you can't do anymore. If you do that, you're called out for it. That's not good enough. And EA, to be fair and to their credit, like I said on the Game of the Year stuff, they haven't been doing that. That's what this feels like. This feels like that kind of
update.
Does
it feel more like an expansion?
It feels like they've just reskinned it and put...
Does it feel more like it's maybe an expansion to Far Cry 5 than actual full game?
I'm completely seeing it that way because, like, I can totally see what you, and I expected all this out. Like, I was like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, this game is just going to be Far Cry 5 again. It's just going to be that. And, like, anyone else that would think, maybe there might be a chance that this will just be a whole new Far Cry game that I'm going to love. It's pretty ridiculous because it is the same map as you said. But for me personally, for it to come out and it's like £40 or something, right? Like, there's going to be a time probably throughout the year where I'll be like, I've nothing really to play. Wouldn't mind just a mindless shooting game. And at that stage, this New Dawn thing would probably be down to maybe like $20 or something. Mm. And I'd be like, yeah, okay. And I can take away from that then. I'll be like, yeah, I was happy enough with that. Is it too early? 100%. But at the end of the day, they said it from day one pretty much that it's going to be the same map. So that's that. And
I think you'll be stunned if you do eventually play it. I think you'll be shocked how much this is that game.
I actually don't know how shocked I'll be, Ed, because I can't express enough the ending of Far Cry 5 for me. Right. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, can you really... In a day and age of video games that create such stories and stuff, how could you be that, like... Right, that's it. We're done. I was like, what? I've come all this way? And like, and I don't think anything will ever top that for me now. And that's the thing. I just want now a Far Cry game of this. What is this like? This is the fifth game now we've had. Is there any? And then we had like a couple of DLC things, whatever. Far Cry is just going to be like Just Cause now at this stage. It's just going to be explosions and all sorts and whatever. Just take it as it is. The day a Far Cry game comes out with a solid, solid story, like, I'd be amazed.
So, we did promise to talk about it then. That you've just led me in perfectly, Adam. Crackdown 3 is finally out, and I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again here, that the week that game was sort of being reviewed or whatever, you know, it was available to us, there was the same week I had played a bit of Metro, a bit of Far Cry, and a bit of Crackdown 3, and I'm here to tell you that the most fun I had that week...
Crackdown 3?
The
3.
Most fun was Crackdown 3, Nicola.
Yeah. Right. Let's just, you know, be a bit realistic about this here. It's not an amazing game.
Nope.
It's not going to be on any Game of the Year lists. Nope. It's just, well, to be quite honest, as you know, I was obviously playing Metro Exodus. That took me longer than I expected. It took up an entire weekend and a couple of days after, you know, in and around that weekend as well. And then I was a bit kind of worn out, to be honest, after playing Exodus and then writing the review. And I thought, well, I'll download Crackdown 3. It's on Game Pass. Brilliant Game Pass game. And I've had a great time with it. It's a right palate cleanser because you just do not have to think about what it is you're doing. You just jump around with a rocket launcher and blow shit up. And I think it's quite good at that, if I'm honest. I think it's quite good. It's not going to be like, you know, I didn't expect it to be a critical success. Did you?
I actually expected it to get more of a pasting.
Yeah.
I said to Mick, because we were both playing at the same time, and I said to him, this will be the best 7 out of 10 you'll play all year. That's how I felt about it. And I'm one of these people, right, that I love that there are games that, like that Dragon Cancer, which tell us a true story using the medium of video games. I love that there are games like Red Dead Redemption 2 that take 60 plus hours that are engrossing, and I love that there are games like Telltale's The Walking Dead, the original, that made you feel so emotional with the story. I love that there are all these games as well. I do believe, though, that there is room for a game like Crackdown to just be, look, there isn't much story, because it feels more like a remake to me than a third game anyway.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you jump on and you just jump around, collect some orbs, shoot some people, blow some shit up for half an hour and a half, and then come back, do it again, and do that a few times, you'll complete it. And if that's all you want, fine. But if not, collect the orbs. I feel there's room for it. And I just find it fun going around the city collecting orbs. I don't know why. I don't normally do it. The only two game series that have made me collect, you know, the collectathon in me was this and the Infamous games. I really wanted to get the Blast Shards. I think it was Blast Shards. I don't normally, like, oh, I'm going to get 100% of these items. Whereas Crackdown, I don't know. Like, I love the fact they removed the, I don't know what they ever called them, but in Crackdown 2, there were orbs that ran away from you.
Oh, God.
And I, like, that was the new thing for Crackdown 2, was that, like, you get to an orb and you have to be, like, agile enough to be able to chase it down. I'm just glad they're gone, because I hated those things. Yeah, it's weird because I don't feel like there's a huge amount to say about Crackdown 3, but I am enjoying going through it sort of at my own pace, having a bit of a laugh with the boss battles, you know,
It's just one of those games.
I mean, first of all, can we just
have fun?
That it's on Game Pass, and it is, frankly, a perfect Game Pass game because it's not ever a game I would buy. I wouldn't buy it.
No.
That's what I was just, to play devil's advocate, if you bought this game at full cost, would you be saying something differently right now?
Yes, I think I would. I think I would, in fairness, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend someone goes and spends 60 quid on it.
No. I think if you're desperate to play it, download Game Pass. There's a deal on at the moment, £2 for 2 months. Wait till the price comes down. But it, as Adam says, it's a game that you can just, they've given you like a playground, really, that you could go in and just blow shit up. And that is pretty much what I've been doing. And like Adam, I really like jumping about getting orbs. And the orbs, thing is, I think one of the reasons why the orbs are so sort of addictive to get is because they actually do improve
your ability. Yes, you're improving
yourself slowly, aren't you? And, you know, there's other things as well. Like, you know, when you kill an enemy in whatever way, whether you've blown them up, shot them, or, you know, used your strength on them, it's that, like, suck up of those other orbs that come into your character as well. It's like it's got some really good, like, feedback stuff that makes you go, ooh, go on then, I'll blow something else up. Do you know what I mean? It feels good to play. I mean, it looks all right. I have no idea what the story is. I couldn't care less. I'm just literally, I'm like, I think I'm agility level 4. You know, once you've got like agility level 4, you're jumping pretty much over 2 or 3 story buildings at this point.
Oh yeah.
And you're just bouncing around,
and that's
blowing
fine.
Stuff up. I like it.
Like, it, It's fine. Like it kind of reminds me of how. Do you remember when during the 360 genre we used to get like those 1,200 point XBLA Summer of Arcade games? It would be a crack in one of them.
Yes.
I haven't tried the multiplayer. I completely honestly, I'm not all that interested in that. The co-op works fine. It's just a game I'm dipping in and out on PC now and again just to have a bit of fun with because it runs like the 60 on there and it's smooth as shit and it's just like. It's just fun, and that's gonna seem unfair when some games get criticised for far more. For me personally, but I don't feel like this game's ever trying to be anything.
I think that's the important thing, that it's not actually trying to be anything other than what it is. So you can just play it and think, well, it's all right. I mean, it's not trying to tell like a deep and meaningful story. You know, it's not doing anything new in terms of its mechanics. It's just literally you are a super soldier who can leap buildings in a single bound and have a lot of rockets. It's literally just that.
And you know what? Yeah. People can say, oh, it's not moved on much from the first one. I still find it fun. Jumping off a really tall building with a rocket launcher, hitting left trigger to lock onto someone, firing a rocket, having it blow up three cars and six enemies as I crash down and then run off and collect an orb.
Yep.
And no, you're right, Nick. It won't be in the Game of Year discussions. And no, I wouldn't give it any more than like a 7 out of 10. But I do think it's probably the best 7 you'll play this year. It's just a decent game. Before we get into listener correspondence, we just want to check in because Mr. Adam Carroll, and also I want to ask Nicola, how come she hasn't played this game at all yet?
Because
Nicola hasn't played.
I know,
Resident Evil 2,
I haven't. Right, this is right. Well, okay. So
this better be good, young lady.
Right. So part of it was I've got a huge backlog, right? And I was thinking I'll work my way through backlogs, right?
But it's Resident Evil
yeah,
2.
Yeah, I know, right. And then, as you know, I have a gaming husband that we share game purchases with, and he isn't mad keen on having Resident
Scary
Evil
ones.
2. So then I was like, oh, right, okay. So if he's not mad keen, because we share the cost of buying a game.
Okay. Yep.
So if he's not like mad keen on it, I might wait until the price drops on it because I'm an absolute tight ass. So there's that, because I knew at the time that it came out that I didn't, if I bought it on release, let's say, I didn't have the time at that point to play it. And I keep doing this with games that I'm mad keen on. I buy them, bang, release day. And then I don't play them for months and months and months. I did it with Horizon Zero Dawn, and I didn't play that game for like 7-8 months after release. And by the time I actually got round to playing it, I could have just bought the game for 17 quid rather than at full price. So there's a little bit of that in there as well, in that I didn't have the time to play it at the time of release, so I didn't buy it. And now that it's kind of like, you know, the dialogue around it and what everybody's talking about in terms of new games at the moment, Resident Evil 2's not, it's sort of, you know, moved on a little bit. My desire to, like, I must play this game now has kind of diminished a little bit, so I can wait. I can wait now. I've got through, I've got over the hump of feeling like, ah, I really want to play this game. So I will play it.
Well.
But there again, see, Adam, you've put me off it a little bit.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I was gonna have to yield to Adam and ask him if he thinks excuse is good enough, and he can tell us about the DLC as well. Well, not DLC. I don't know what
it's kind of known as it's free DLC.
But
and
is,
look,
hang on. Is Nicola's excuse accepted in the class? Oh, wow.
To be honest,
yes, a hard task. After Pasta.
Let me just put it this way, right? When I played this DLC, I laughed. I laughed because, Adam, you came into my head within the first, like, minute of playing the first story. So straight up, right, it's three protagonists. You get to play as either, like, Robert Kendo, who's the gun store owner, I think the mayor's daughter, who is Catherine Warren, and some umbrella soldier, okay? Three different stories. I didn't know what the plan was surrounding it when they announced this. I was like, okay, this sounds cool. This sounds like I'm not expecting, especially when it's free, I think like it's going to be probably max 15, 20 minute long little story things, story beats, like what they did with Seven, with Bedroom and stuff like that. And I was perfectly fine with that. I was like, cool. However, it does bring in the situation of it being a kind of a rush mode.
Mm.
And for me personally, I hate those modes. I hate them so much. I don't like rushing games. I don't like having to get through these things quick. And that's what you're supposed to do in this. So let's, like, when you instantly open the main menu, Adam, and this is, you're going to be like, okay, right, I know exactly what way this is going to go. You get the option of either picking, like, the main mode of it, the main difficulty, or training. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, I was like, all right, cool, I'm going in normal mode. Let's see how we get on. I got fucking slaughtered.
Yeah.
There's enemies everywhere, dude. Like, and I know it's the purpose of it, but everything you really get frustrated with is going to be here on, like, high volume. Like, like, you get a brief synopsis of the general story of the character. And I mean, it's just in the loading screen. It's just text that comes up. One page of text you read and go, cool. You press X and you're just instantly starting. You can move the character straight away and it's like go time. And you just have to get from A to B. And that thing is just getting through a shit ton of new enemies, some of the older enemies. Now, the enemies and the ammo stuff and all that jazz that you have issues with, Adam, and like with that we've discussed how like they take so long to die and whatever. This is here, man, and I mean it's not pleasant. Like, they have new enemies put into this DLC, and we're talking about enemies that have these glowing eyes. And if you don't shoot them before they reach you, they kind of like explode this poison gas. And you're just like all of a sudden zombies are more than just infected zombies. They're now they're actually infected with something else again. And it's a whole new enemy. And they're not really an issue as such. But when you have, like, say, four of them coming at you and then behind you there's a licker, you're just like, oh, come on. Like, and the licker is just jumping at you and you're getting irritated there and then. And if you die, you're straight back to the beginning. Like,
oh.
you get the choice of using, like, herbs and stuff, but you can't use the storage box. Like, you can't use any of that stuff. It's all, there's no saving. It's just, you just have to try and survive this.
But it's free. Now,
is it like Mercenaries? It sounds a bit like Mercenaries.
It's kind of like that. I know the purpose of the training mode in it is to basically just see how and where the enemies are. But I did do both. And one of the, like, in training, they take away the enemies. Like, certain enemies. Like, the one area where there was a liquor, in training, there is no liquor. So I was like, all right, cool. It still has a bit of a challenge to it, even in training, because I think, Adam, we were discussing this, you know, with the assist mode and just normal mode. Do you know what I mean? In the actual full game. It just still has a challenge. Now, on top of that, now, whether you can just, like, this is nitpicking, it definitely is. But they even put zombies with, like gas tanks attached to them.
Oh.
Like, they're wearing, like, two straps on their shoulders with two gas tanks. And you can shoot them and it blows up, like, the surrounding enemies around them. And it's like, that's fine, I guess. You know, it's just an obstacle.
That's on the arcade mode.
So basically, like, down a hallway and, like, I had, like, a couple of shotgun shells, a handgun and like 20 zombies at once. It's not.
Do you have a grenade?
You can get a grenade and stuff. Like, there is that, but you know, it is just a rush mode. It is just one of those things. And I think the biggest downside to it is just I wish there was just a little bit more of the character story over just how fast can you get through this level. I'm like, oh, okay. And like, I did it once and that was it. Like, but look, it is free. I'd be interested to see how Gary thinks of it. Adam, like, you play it, but it's not anything anyone's going to be like, oh, this is essential play after, like, Resident Evil 2, do you know? That's all. But look, I can't stress enough, it is free, so you can't really argue that much.
Absolutely. Well, after a bumper crop of games, let's get into some listener correspondence. We'll keep it short this week and perhaps save these 70s for next week because we are running a bit long. But Luke Phillips on Twitter, at LukeyEDH, says, do you think that EA's timing of releasing Apex Legends could have a negative impact on Anthem? They're very different games, but I feel that EA maybe should have given Anthem room to breathe in what's already been a busy start to the year.
Yes.
Yes. I actually discussed this recently. It 100% has done this. Like, it's a weird...
It's taken the buzz completely away.
Yeah. You.
I think.
The only way... Well, the only way the buzz would have stayed as much for Anthem would have been if Apex Legends was kind of having problems from day one.
I will say that Anthem's demos are bad. Like, the start of the game for Anthem is actually, like, really strong. Like, it's a strong start to that game. The demo took a lot of the buzz away from Anthem. And Apex Legends, I don't begrudge it either, though, because they deserve a win, that studio, you know?
Yeah. Respawn definitely do. Apex Legends is great, by the way.
It is. But why do EA keep doing this?
I don't know. Like, stuff in studios. I don't know.
It's always with Respawn. Like, somehow Respawn are always involved. Like, they did this with Titanfall 2 when they released it the week after Battlefield 1, but a few weeks before Call of Duty.
No, they released it a week after Battlefield 1 and a week before Call of Duty. Before.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Stuffed it. And I'm still furious.
But this time round, it's really weird. Like, I don't get this at all. Luke also asks, do you guys have any other hobbies that you're passionate about outside of gaming? He wants to say that we've become one of his favorite podcasts in the last few months, and he wants to thank us for our hard work.
That's amazing.
Thank you for listening. For me, I think it's music.
Yeah, music.
You also coach, don't you, for your son?
Yeah, football. Mm-hmm. Football. But, like, music could be probably above games for me in terms of passion.
I used to read a lot, but I don't do it as much anymore, and I kind of miss it, really. Mm. But there again, I always feel like I don't have the time to read, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm passionate about it, but as you know, I have also been doing CrossFit for, about 20 months now, something nice. Like that. And I wouldn't say I'm passionate about it, but it is definitely a form of exercise that I enjoy and have been enjoying. So at least I get out of the house and do, like, move my body about a bit. Because sometimes, you know, because I work from home, sometimes I get to a situation where I like going out the house. Not that going out the house is difficult for me, but it does reach a point where I'm just like, I can't be bothered to leave the house. And I don't think that's very healthy for me.
No,
so,
So
CrossFit's been good for me in that sense that it's got me out of the house and it gets me moving. Which a couple of things that I hadn't been doing that regularly before I started doing CrossFit, and I kind of, like, my mental health was suffering a little bit because of that. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm passionate about CrossFit, but I am enjoying doing it. I'm certainly grateful that it's in my life.
Nice.
Fair enough. Just do one other question. David Ayers at David Ayers _ says, this is an interesting one actually, because Adam will have a different perspective to us, but what's the worst TV channel?
Babe Station.
Now, for those listening...
Definitely, honestly.
For those listening, TV channels are the things that you used to switch between before Netflix and, like, VOD. Like, they're channel different... No one's listening to this doesn't know what a channel is, surely. Mm.
There's some... I mean, God, there's so many on Sky.
There's so much rubbish on Sky.
There's so much so shite much that rubbish. You flick.
Yeah.
And yet I'm still going to say ITV.
Why?
Really?
I don't know a single show I like on ITV, and as you mentioned, Nicola, I do like with football, and their coverage is usually very poor.
Mm.
Do you remember? Cool, when would it have been? 90s, when like Channel 5 became a thing, and like it was like certain people in the country couldn't get Channel 5.
Yes,
Channel 5 was always pretty bad, wasn't it?
Yes. Can I say what channel I absolutely despise, and it's always on in my house, and I do not understand why he even watches it?
Can I guess?
Yeah, go.
Because I bet I know.
Yeah.
Sky Sports News.
No, it's not. Well, there is an element of that. Maybe it's a program, a specific program on that channel, but it's the one where you're watching men watching football.
I suspect
the one where you're watching men watch football. Is that...
Yeah.
What is it called?
Soccer
AM's funny. Yeah. I like Soccer AM. That is funny. Yeah, it's when all the matches that can't be shown got like...
The 3 p.m. kickoff
Jeff,
on a Saturday.
What's his face?
Stelling.
He presents it and you've got some angry Liverpudlian in there and you've got Chuffin Kamara, Chris Kamara. Go, right, Jeff.
Paul Merson.
Oh, my God. And I like, it's always on. And I sit there and I'm like looking at my husband and he's like glued. And I'm like, you are literally watching people watch football, Richard. What are you doing?
And then you'll hear, in the background as one of them.
But like, that's just become such a...
I don't get it.
That's become such a thing now, though. Like we're...
It's Gogglebox for football.
Like, it's all... It's all
but see,
though.
Soccer AM often do skits of that, and that makes me laugh. Soccer AM's quite funny. I don't mind Soccer AM, but yeah, that program. It's not a specific channel, is it? It's just that program on Sky Sports News.
And where do you stand on a channel like E?
Standing in the corner, confused as to what
Adam's
it is. Mate.
Whole response there just summed it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what it is.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's just TV in general has just, like, it's just lost it completely. Like, that's just that. Look at us.
I don't particularly like those channels like Dave. Although I do watch Dave. But, you know, like, it's just running reruns of stuff.
Yeah. Only false nurses, but the same 6 or 7 episodes rotating in
and out. There's a channel specifically that only seems to run like 4 in a Bed reruns or Come Dine With Me reruns. And I always, like, on a Sunday morning, like, you flick through the channel and you'll see, like, this, you'll come to this channel, like, with 4 in a Bed reruns. And I sit there for, like, 2.5 hours because it's, like, the whole 5 episodes, one after the other, whereas it would have taken 5 weeks to watch. And I sit there and I'm going, oh, man, it's all kicking off. It's all kicking off. And I hate it. But I sit there and I watch them. And I hate it.
I know it well.
Anyway.
Well, I say we call it a day because we've got what I say. I reckon I'm going to talk about Anthem for probably the next month. Hopefully next week I'll be more positive. There are games still coming out. We've got Trials Rising the end of this week, I think.
Mm.
But there are games coming. Jump Force, I didn't even talk about. In for a penny, in for a pound. But like, I'm so glad that Nick's reviewing that because I sent him on the disc and I thought I'd just capture some for a video review. Played half an hour. I'm committed to this site. I'm not that committed. I ain't playing any more of that game. And on that note, thank you very much for listening. You can go to patreon.com/godisageek for the early version of this podcast and the extended version. Usually we haven't done it recently, but we've been very short on time. There have been a lot of stuff going on. Thank you very much to Adam and Nicola for being here this week.
You're welcome.
And everybody else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.